March 5th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of Numbers, chapter 4, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 5, verse 31. We have seen that the priests were also part of the battle, for without the blessing of the Lord, there could be no victory. In Numbers chapter 5, we'll be reading about defiling. See, not everybody in Israel was a soldier or a priest, but each individual was responsible to please the Lord and keep from defilement. Israel was to be holy to the Lord. Otherwise, he could not bless the nation with victory. Now, you may not think you're important to the spiritual battles going on in today's world, but you are, and you must keep clean. We'll read about defrauding. If the soldiers are not loyal to one another, how can they defeat the enemy? You see, it was not enough to confess the sin. There had to be restitution as well. The people were also reminded to care for the priests because their ministry was important to the victory. And we'll read about discovering. This unusual law protected the woman as well as sanctified the marriage relationship. Husbands and wives must be faithful to each other. Marriage is an intimate relationship, and even hidden unfaithfulness can create a spirit of jealousy and doubt. If the wife was guilty, the truth would come out. If not, the husband could trust her, and they could live together and have a family. We have no such laws today, but we have an all-seeing God to whom we will answer one day. And now, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 5th. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1, through chapter 5, verse 31. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take a census of the clans and families of the Kohathite division of the Levite tribe. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who qualify to work in the tabernacle. The duties of the Kohathites at the tabernacle will relate to the most sacred objects. When the camp moves, Aaron and his sons must enter the tabernacle first to take down the inner curtain and cover the Ark of the Covenant with it. Then they must cover the inner curtain with fine goatskin leather and the goatskin leather with a dark blue cloth. Finally, they must put the carrying poles of the Ark in place. Next, they must spread a blue cloth over the table where the bread of the presence is displayed and place the dishes, spoons, bowls, cups, and the special bread on the cloth. They must spread a scarlet cloth over that, and finally, a covering of fine goatskin leather on top of the scarlet cloth. Then they must insert the carrying poles into the table. Next, they must cover the lampstand with a dark blue cloth, along with its lamps, lamp snuffers, trays, and special jars of olive oil. The lampstand, with its utensils, must then be covered with fine goatskin leather, and the bundle must be placed on a carrying frame. Aaron and his sons must also spread a dark blue cloth over the gold altar and cover this cloth with a covering of fine goatskin leather. Then they are to attach the carrying poles to the altar. All the remaining utensils of the sanctuary must be wrapped in a dark blue cloth, covered with fine goatskin leather, and placed on the carrying frame. The ashes must be removed from the altar, and the altar must then be covered with a purple cloth. All the altar utensils, the fire pans, hooks, shovels, basins, and all the containers are to be placed on the cloth, and a covering of fine goatskin leather must be spread over them. Finally, the carrying poles must be put in place. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the sacred utensils, the Kohathites will come and carry these things to the next destination. But they must not touch the sacred objects, or they will die. So these are the objects of the tabernacle that the Kohathites must carry. Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, will be responsible for the oil of the lampstand, the fragrant incense, the daily grain offering, and the anointing oil. In fact, the supervision of the entire tabernacle and everything in it will be Eleazar's responsibility. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Don't let the Kohathite clans be destroyed from among the Levites. This is what you must do so they will live and not die when they approach the most sacred objects. Aaron and his sons must always go in with them and assign a specific duty or load to each person. Otherwise, they must not approach the sanctuary and look at the sacred objects for even a moment, or they will die." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take a census of the clans and families of the Gershonite division of the tribe of Levi. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who are eligible to serve in the tabernacle. The duties of the Gershonites will be in the area of general service and carrying loads. They must carry the curtains of the tabernacle itself with its coverings, the outer covering of fine goatskin leather, and the curtain for the tabernacle entrance. They are also to carry the curtains for the courtyard walls that surround the tabernacle and altar, the curtain across the courtyard entrance, the necessary cords, and all the altar's accessories. The Gershonites are responsible for transporting all these items. Aaron and his sons will direct the Gershonites regarding their duties, whether it involves moving or doing other work. They must assign the Gershonites the loads they are to carry. So these are the duties assigned to the Gershonites at the tabernacle. They will be directly responsible to Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. Now take a census of the clans and families of the Merarite division of the Levite tribe. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who are eligible to serve in the tabernacle. Their duties at the tabernacle will consist of carrying loads. They will be required to carry the frames of the tabernacle, the crossbars, the pillars with their bases, the posts for the courtyard walls with their bases, pegs, cords, accessories, and everything else related to their use. You must assign the various loads to each man by name. So these are the duties of the Merarites at the tabernacle. They are directly responsible to Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. So Moses, Aaron, and the other leaders of the community counted the Kohathite division by its clans and families. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle, and the total number came to 2,750. So this was the total of all those from the Kohathite clans who were eligible to serve at the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron counted them, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. The Gershonite division was also counted by its clans and families. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle, and the total number came to 2,630. So this was the total of all those from the Gershonite clans who were eligible to serve at the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron counted them, just as the Lord had commanded. The Merarite division was also counted by its clans and families. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle, and the total number came to 3,200. So this was the total of all those from the Merarite clans who were eligible for service. Moses and Aaron counted them, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. So Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel counted all the Levites by their clans and families. All the men between 30 and 50 years of age, who were eligible for service in the tabernacle and for its transportation, numbered 8,580. Each man was assigned his task and told what to carry, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And so the census was completed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord gave these instructions to Moses: command the people of Israel to remove anyone from the camp who has a contagious skin disease or a discharge, or who has been defiled by touching a dead person. This applies to men and women alike. Remove them so they will not defile the camp, where I live among you. So the Israelites did, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and removed such people from the camp. Then the Lord said to Moses, give these instructions to the people of Israel. If any of the people, men or women, betray the Lord by doing wrong to another person, they are guilty. they must confess their sin and make full restitution for what they have done, adding a penalty of 20% and returning it to the person who was wronged. But if the person who was wronged is dead, and there are no near relatives to whom restitution can be made, it belongs to the Lord and must be given to the priest, along with a ram for atonement. All the sacred gifts that the Israelites bring to a priest will belong to him. Each priest may keep the sacred donations that he receives. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, suppose a man's wife goes astray and is unfaithful to her husband. Suppose she sleeps with another man. But there is no witness, since she was not caught in the act. If her husband becomes jealous and suspicious of his wife, even if she has not defiled herself, the husband must bring his wife to the priest with an offering of 2 quarts of barley flour to be presented on her behalf. Do not mix it with olive oil or frankincense, for it is a jealousy offering, an offering of inquiry to find out if she is guilty. The priest must then present her before the Lord. He must take some holy water in a clay jar and mix it with dust from the tabernacle floor. When he has presented her before the Lord, he must unbind her hair and place the offering of inquiry, the jealousy offering, in her hands to determine whether or not her husband's suspicions are justified. The priest will stand before her, holding the jar of bitter water that brings a curse to those who are guilty. The priest will put the woman under oath and say to her, if no other man has slept with you, and you have not defiled yourself by being unfaithful, may you be immune from the effects of this bitter water that causes the curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority and defiled yourself by sleeping with another man, at this point the priest must put the woman under this oath. Then may the people see that the Lord's curse is upon you when he makes you infertile. Now may this water that brings the curse enter your body and make you infertile. And the woman will be required to say, yes, let it be so. Then the priest will write these curses on a piece of leather and wash them off into bitter water. He will then make the woman drink the bitter water, so it may bring on the curse and cause bitter suffering in cases of guilt. Then the priest will take the jealousy offering from the woman's hand, lift it up before the Lord, and carry it to the altar. He will take a handful as a token portion and burn it on the altar. Then he will require the woman to drink the water. If she has defiled herself by being unfaithful to her husband, the water that brings the curse will cause bitter suffering. She will become infertile, and her name will become a curse word among her people. But if she has not defiled herself and is pure, she will be unharmed and will still be able to have children. This is the ritual law for dealing with jealousy. If a woman defiles herself by being unfaithful to her husband, or if a man is overcome with jealousy and suspicion that his wife has been unfaithful, the husband must present his wife before the Lord, and the priest will apply this entire ritual law to her. The husband will be innocent of any guilt in this matter, but his wife will be held accountable for her sin. March 5th. Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 37. Then the Sadducees step forward, a group of Jews who say there is no resurrection after death. They posed this question, "Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will be the brother's heir. Well, there were 7 brothers. The oldest of them married and then died without children. So the 2nd brother married the widow. But soon he too died and left no children. Then the next brother married her and died without children. This continued until all the brothers had married her and died, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman died too. So tell us, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? for all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, Your problem is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they won't be married. They will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses, in the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So, he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the discussion. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, The most important commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The teacher of religious law replied, Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbors as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing this man's understanding, Jesus said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Later, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, he asked, Why do the teachers of religious law claim that the Messiah will be the son of David? For David himself, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit in honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Since David himself called him Lord, how can he be his son at the same time? And the crowd listened to him with great interest. Psalm 48, verses 1 through 14. Like Psalm 46, this psalm celebrates God's deliverance of Jerusalem from an invading army. To Christian believers, Jerusalem and Mount Zion speak of the Jerusalem above and the heavenly Zion, where their citizenship is recorded. Look at the city. It is the city of God, the holy city, beautiful and joyful. But to the enemy who does not know the Lord, it is an awesome place that speaks of judgment. Ponder your heavenly destiny so that you may live a happier and holier life. So, let heaven come to your soul and celebrate the city. Tell others what God has prepared for his people and invite them to become citizens of Zion by faith in Christ. To know the glory of God is to know a faithful guide, capital G, faithful guide, who will care for you in life and take you to Mount Zion when you die. What more could one want? Psalm 48, verses 1 through 14. A psalm of the descendants of Korah. A song. How great is the Lord, and how much we should praise him in the city of our God, which is on his holy mountain. It is magnificent in elevation. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great King. God himself is in Jerusalem's towers. He reveals himself as her defender. The kings of the earth joined forces and advanced against the city. But when they saw it, they were stunned. They were terrified and ran away. They were gripped with terror, like a woman writhing in the pain of childbirth, or like the mighty ships of Tarshish being shattered by a powerful east wind. We had heard of the city's glory, but now we have seen it ourselves. The city of the Lord Almighty, it is the city of our God. He will make it safe forever. O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. as your name deserves, O God. You will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let the towns of Judah be glad, for your judgments are just. Go inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour all the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide until we die. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Lazy people are a pain to their employer. They are like smoke in the eyes, or vinegar that sets the teeth on edge.